It's The Fake Show starring Jim Tofty and Kendall Tenney, because all the jobs they're qualified to do are obsolete.
I'm worried, Ray. It's getting crowded in there, and all my recent data points to something big on the horizon.
Let's say this Twinkie represents the normal amount of psychokinetic energy in the New York area. According to this morning's sample, it would be a Twinkie 35 feet long, weighing approximately 600 pounds.
That's a big Twinkie.
And just like in the Ghostbusters, my next guest travels with a group of people with gadgets to get a glimpse or even trap ghosts or specters. They are called the Tennessee Wraith Chasers on a show called Ghost Asylum, and believe me, they have seen some things. Please welcome to The Fake Show, Scott Porter from Ghost Asylum.
Jim, this is Scott Porter from the Tennessee Wraith Chasers.
Yes, Scott, how are you doing?
Doing good.
I have seen quite a bit of the episode of your guys' show, the more recent one at the U.S. Marine Hospital. It's fantastic.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, that was a really cool place to do an investigation, and turned out to be a lot more active than we expected.
I know you guys go to places like this, these old abandoned institutions, but why are some of these buildings still standing, do you suppose?
You know, I think in a lot of cases, you know, they're privately owned, and the owners, you know, got into them thinking that they would either try to salvage them or repurpose them, and in some cases, maybe just try to, you know, save them for their historical significance, not realizing that the money needed or the capital needed to maintain the buildings would be so much. So they sit there and they deteriorate and eventually they just fall down.
And after you guys run into some of these specters, I'd want to tear it down and just leave.
I hear you, man. You know, I mean, it's each their own with that too. I mean, because in some cases, you know, I think that maybe one person could go in here and have an experience and interact with something, and another person could go in there and not have an interaction. You know, I think it's a lot of it has to do with the person and how much they're open to their environment, open to what's happening around them, and how observant you are.
Talking to Scott Porter from Ghost Asylum on Destination America, and Scott, I was lucky enough back in the 80s to have met and, you know, interviewed and went to a lecture that Ed and Lorraine Warren gave in Central Illinois. They were there, I think, speaking at Bradley University at the time. I guess it was a few years after the Amityville haunting case that they were involved with. But I'm telling you, and much like you guys, just some of the sights and some of the sounds that you hear. I remember walking home with my wife after seeing them speak and some of the things that they played, some of the recordings. It was a cold night. We were walking home. It was in the fall, walking on crunchy leaves. And I don't think I slept for the next couple of nights.
I can imagine.
I mean, what do you guys go through? Because you've seen some things that are pretty spooky. I mean, have you ever been a little bit shaken up?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Last season, I think probably we had one of our most, you know, our closest to home or most personal events happen was there at Cannon Memorial when Brannon had, you know, something going on with him, something was affecting him. And, you know, that really made us stop afterwards and, you know, just sit down and kind of take a breath and talk about it. And, you know, and things got better. I think the main thing is that you know, we're so grounded in our faith and believe that God will protect us. We don't know what we're dealing with. As far as myself and Chris and Brannon, we believe in ghosts, but not in the traditional sense. We don't believe that maybe it's the ghost of grandpa or grandma or whomever. Not to say that it's not an energy that may have been associated with them, but, you know, we believe that when you die, the soul goes on to heaven or hell, depending on the relationship you have with God. But, you know, what are these things? Are they demons? Are they something else? You know, are they some type of entity that's made up of electrical activity that can actually have higher functioning thought that doesn't have a biological home? You know, there's many different things that it could be. And of course, you'll see us in the show. We'll call to them by name because that's what they've responded to other people. But I don't find it in my faith that the soul of man hangs around the earth after they're gone. And as far as it being something demonic, you really have to have the armor on you, you know, your godly armor, and ask for God's protection when you go in, because these things will try to manipulate you and try to control confuse you and make you think something different than what God's plan is.
Not to compare you guys to the Ghostbusters, but you each have your own particular skill set, including the fact that you have what you've put together in the way of traps. How do those work?
When we started doing this, we thought, what would be the ultimate accomplishment as a paranormal investigator? And, you know, the first thing that we thought of was, to capture video proof that there is some other, that there are entities out there. Video proof of an apparition that's not there, so to speak. And we've done that. We've captured video of full-bodied apparitions and that we can't explain, both in deep infrared and in thermal. And, we've done that. We've actually caught some in full color. But, what was the next level? What's the next step? And we started thinking about it and the energy that is used to manipulate all the instruments that we use in our field is some form of electrical energy. So what would be the ultimate thing? Well, it would be able to contain or move or transport that electromagnetic energy in an object or in something and be able to test it and say, hey, wow, look here. This energy's still here. It wasn't here before. We went to this location. We got something to attached to, and then look, we still got the energy there. So, to be able to contain an energy, move it, and see it still there, I think that's what the ultimate goal was.
And I know that when you guys go into a room and the temperature of the room goes down, that you know that there's some kind of a presence. What exactly does that mean when the temperature starts to go south?
Well, I mean, the theory is that these entities are looking to draw energy to be able to interact with. It takes a lot more energy to, say, slam a door or to move something than what it takes to, say, interact with us on a piece of equipment, to change a little bit of EMF or to actuate a proximity sensor or something like that. So the theory behind the dropping temperature is that the entity is drawing energy from the air, which adversely affects the ambient temperature, dropping that temperature down. So you see that, and we believe that's indicative that there's an entity there that's trying to draw enough energy to be able to interact with us.
I think I saw a clip of the show, and there was actually, you guys had a lit cigarette going, and then there were actually embers that were going. That had to be a little trippy.
Oh, man, that was probably the most exciting thing that I've seen in a while.
It's like it's smoking that daggone cigarette.
This thing is actually smoking a cigarette. Something I can't see smoking a cigarette. That's absolutely driving my mind crazy. Take your puff off that cigarette and let's throw down.
Look. Whoa! What?
Oh, no way.
That whole night, man, at U.S. Marine, we were there. We started, putting the pieces together and thinking, okay, what's going to be the best thing, the best way to interact with folks? And everybody was saying, dominoes or something of that nature. But the card games were kind of like the background piece. That was something that, was looked down upon. Nobody really wanted people to know that played cards, but yet they loved to do it. And so we thought, why not play some cards out here? And then, they would have been smoking, they would have been drinking. So why not introduce some of those items as trigger objects?
You're speaking of guys who were in the Confederate Army, in other
Correct.
Words.
Yeah. And so why not introduce some, some tobacco, introduce some, some whiskey and cards and see, see what happens. And not only Confederate, but I think there were also Union encampments there as well. So there were soldiers from both sides. But, we started this little interaction and we started dealing the cards out. We lit the cigarette. We thought, we'll put the cigarette in the periscope that stands vertical. That way it would hold the cigarette up. And if any energy changed around the cigarette, we could see it visually represented by the periscope. And the periscope picks up changes in the electrostatic field. And so, we were doing the cards and offered the cigarette. And the neatest thing, and it'll probably be in some of the outtakes or some of the outtakes from the show, but that thing, the periscope started lighting up. It started on the outer edge of the outside rod. It went to the next one, went to the next one, went to the next one. And then when it got to the cigarette started to burn brighter. It was one of the most astonishing, physical interactions I'd seen in a while. That got us really excited. And, of course, we're all just going nuts over that. But then, And what the camera didn't catch that we wish it would, we didn't have enough cameras going. Chris laid his cards down and his cards shifted like something was trying to look at his cards. And it startled us. I mean, just did startle us to death. And so to have something like that going on, I mean, it was just, you know, right there in front of you between us. I mean, it just, you know, it was amazing.
How do people who tune in, because it's a really well-done show, I have to say, but how do people who maybe consider themselves pessimists not go, well, you guys, you're doing tricks, you're doing effects, you're doing stuff with the cameras here?
One thing that we have to, we put out there, we're all pessimists. We all question it. We believe that there's something else out there, and we try to keep it real. You know, we try to keep it to where what you're seeing on the show is what we experienced while we were there, you know, and we've talked to the network about it. They've been very accommodating. And, you know, if we have a dud, we have a dud. You know, if we go into some place, it's supposed to be phenomenal and nothing wants to play with us, then, you know, then we got to make jokes and laugh at each other. But so far, I mean, everywhere we've been, we've had great interaction. We've been able to capture some good evidence. We've missed some good evidence. But I mean, what you're seeing on the show is what we experienced while we're there.
Scott, you go in there with a group of, I don't know how many, four or five plus whatever the camera crew is. Would any of you go in there alone, or is it something where you're glad that you're there with a group?
Well, you know, I mean, the thing about it, you're, you know, our minds are kind of predispositioned to be scared, so to speak, because, you know, we've, in life, we've heard all the stories, we've seen the, yeah, you know, the different horror films, we've seen the ghosts, and so you're kind of on edge anyway. But I think it works out really well when you do a solo session. We do solo sessions where we go in by ourselves. We go in, we take a camera,
you do,
we set up cameras around us, and then we sit there by ourselves. We've also done sessions where, you know, we do sessions all the time where we have a camera crew, you know, there's a camera guy, a sound guy, and a producer there taking notes. You know, those guys get off in the corners or in the darkness somewhere and hide, except for the camera guy, because he's got to get our faces. But, you know, we do that, and, you know, it's cool. It's nice to have someone there because you feel a little bit more comfortable. But when you're by yourself, there's just something about it. The energy is different.
Yeah.
It's almost like the entities want to feed off that fear and they want to try to take advantage of it. So, I mean, I think you get some really good evidence when you're by yourself.
Yeah, we've all seen the ghost in Mr. Chicken, right? Now, why do you guys wear masks? I see that a lot. Is that just because you never know what kind of the environment in there could be unhealthy for you to breathe?
That's it. Some of the places that we've gone to, the primary insulation that was used was an asbestos-based insulation,
right?
And so some of that may still be in there. A lot of the places are very dilapidated, you know, so they don't have that healthy air. They have you know, black mold or other fungi growing that,
right,
could have the spores in the air, so you want to keep those out of your lungs. You know, that's why we recommend to people on the show that, you know, don't try to do this at home. Just don't go into your local, you know, abandoned warehouse, building, factory, or whatever, and just start trying to ghost hunt, because you don't know what chemicals are still there. You don't know what other biologicals are still there that could adversely affect your health. Not that the ghost is going to kill you, but what's in the building may make you a ghost.
You guys, yeah. You guys have a canine member now with the crew?
Well, we do. We have my dog, Bourbon. He would go out with us some and play with us. And, you know, dogs have that sixth sense, you know, about them. They can sense stuff that perhaps we can't. And so, yeah, Bourbon used to go with us some. He's semi-retired now. He's getting up in years. And you know, some of these places we're going to are, they're just not healthy for him. So, you know, we just try not to put him in a situation where it would be unhealthy for him.
And how does someone get hold of you guys if they've got a suggestion of a place for you to go?
Oh, man, get on Facebook. We're on there. Look our page up. It's Tennessee Wraith Chasers. You know, send us a private message. You can look me up on there. I'm Porter TWC. You can look Doogie up, Doogie TWC, Chris. You can look all of us up on there and send us a private message and say, hey, I've got this place that's, you know, really cool. Give us some background, and that way we've got your information. And you know, if somebody suggests something and we wind up going there, you know, the person that we take the suggestion from, our producers will get in touch with them, and, you know, hey, we may even pull you in to do an interview on the show.
Awesome. It's a great show, Ghost Asylum. It's on Sunday nights on Destination Destination America. We get it here in Las Vegas on Cox Cable, and I guess you just have to check your local listings.
Yep, and also Destination America has a channel finder on their website, so you can go there and put in your service provider, and they'll tell you exactly where you need to go look for us.
Fantastic. Nice talking to you, Scott Porter from Ghost Asylum. We look forward to the future episodes this season.
Hey, thank you, man. It's been a great time talking to you. Appreciate it.
Thanks buddy.
Thanks.
So there you have it, and believe it or don't believe it, but the places Scott and his crew travel to, the asylums, the sanitariums, and penitentiaries, are just plain creepy. Ghost Asylum every Sunday on Destination America. Thanks for joining us on this edition of The Fake Show. I'm Jim Tofte, and I'll talk to you next time.
Join Kendall and Jim next time from Studio G inside Jim Tofte's house, and go to thefakeshow.com for more info.